It is that time. Let's kick off our Smart Speaker series on this sunny Monday. Joining us today, we have Scott Reed, CTV political analyst, former advisor to Prime Minister Paul Martin, and Lindsay Broadhead, strategic communications and public affairs advisor. Happy Monday to you both.
Hi, Rashmi.
Hello.
Hey-ho.
Hello, hello. We were just talking about this on the program. Do you, Lindsay and Scott, know people who are going to be upset about the fencing that's gone up along the pavement of Ontario Place? BlogTO documenting that a lot of people have just lost access to that pavement that they like to run on. Lindsay?
Yeah, I can't actually pinpoint specific people, actually, now that you mention it. But I think I definitely know of groups who will be upset by the kind of political nature of it, and it will rile them up. Plus, I think just, you know, we're on, what, day three of the summer warmth cycle. So in terms of timing, it may not be ideal for many.
Mm-hmm. Is it a NIMBY issue, Scott, to complain about fencing that's gone up as we anticipate some work?
Yes, it absolutely is. But it's not only that. Like, there are people that, you know, dig Ontario Place. They like walking. Like, I don't take my kids there. I live a distance from Ontario Place. But I will take my kids and my dog down there 3-4 times, you know, a season, right? Like, and so there's that. But it just, it's one of those things that's like, oh, I just wanted to remind you that the government has this big, heavy-footed policy, and they basically just surrender this gigantic 99-year lease to this company, and that's the way it's going to go. And we're going to convert public land into private purposes, but there wasn't really a lot of consultation. There wasn't really a lot of examination. And you feel like there's 4 or 5 people that probably were like, hey, this worked out great for me. I got to ching-ching off of this. And this, the whole thing stinks. It just stinks, man. And so I just think the government has got to be really careful, because they seem to think, well, we can just, you know, square our shoulders and push this through. I think this thing is going to be a hurt that keeps on hurting.
I agree with you there, Scott. Like, this is salt on a wound, I think, for many. I wouldn't be surprised if this action, though it seems small, actually is a catalyst for something far bigger.
What do you mean, Lindsay?
Protests, just anger. I think people right now, you know, we talk every week and people are angry about things. And then added with the mayoral election, that seems to be focusing in on the negative right now and hasn't journeyed towards more optimistic and future oriented discussion and narratives. This could be fuel to all of those fires. You know, it's going to happen somewhere, but I don't know where. And I don't mean to overextend the impact of this, but when you mess with the waterfront, you mess with Ontario Place, you mess with folks this summer and the ability to move and travel. It could be that, you know, that final pin.
Yeah, it's fascinating that BlogTO is documenting it. I can appreciate that people are upset, and the timing with the weather forecast is brutal. But yeah, that fence says a lot more than just, hey, I'm a fence. What about the York Catholic District School Board meeting tonight, already putting a request in for police to be present for a school board meeting about rainbows, Scott?
Yeah, this is where our politics are these days, right? So yeah, how does it work in Canada? As a guy who's lived his entire life in and around the political process, the way it works in Canada, whether you like to hear this or not, folks, is things happen in the States, and then we kind of import them, right? So political practices, political, and it's not like a carbon copy, but we'll borrow it culturally, professionally. And what's happening right now is you can't have an argument about this without it turning into something that you literally have to keep police around for fear that folks are going to shut down the meeting. They're going to get, like, it isn't like I'd like to go and I'd like to register my objection. I have a different view. No, actually, if it's left unstructured, I'll literally try to force my opinion on people by physically. And, you know, that's, you know, like, it's just cracked. And now people think this is normalized. This is like, okay, yeah, well, that's kind of like what the political process is. No, it wasn't that for 40 years. Okay, so it ought not to be that. And we ought to look at it and say, this is a burning bush that is screaming at us that the way in which we conduct ourselves in terms of political discourse and politics is wrong. Like, people we disagree with aren't our opponents, and they don't deserve to be punched in the face, and it doesn't make them immoral. But now the cops have to be called in because you can't have a civil debate. It's just cracked.
Yeah, that we're asking for police to be present in advance of a school board meeting. It doesn't bode well, Lindsay, but what would you say about the people who are attending to behave the way that Scott's described?
Well, I mean, you know, just like we talked about, the fence is more than a fence and the police are more than the police in this case, right? They're symbol. They may act as a catalyst even to, heighten and exaggerate the tensions. People might become a little bit performative. I understand folks even have to sign in and agree to certain terms and behaviors. We should be able to talk, especially in Canada, about pride-related issues, issues of identity, flags, for God's sakes, right? We should be able to talk about these things, notwithstanding the fact that these are parents and educators. These are the people who are supposed to be modeling behaviors for our kids. If we can't agree on what a democratic discussion looks like, if we can't have that within the walls of our school systems, you know, how can we ever expect our kids to do any of these things? And I'm not trying to be preachy, but it's when bonkers gets too bonkers. We should be able to talk about these things.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Can I add one thing real quick?
Always. Yeah.
So just as a sign of the times and how things have changed, but a little historical blemish on this, like 20 years ago, I was part of a government that introduced same-sex marriage. We made it legal. Right. And I'm not saying that to like, oh, get a load of me. Like, this is where I stand on this issue. It doesn't matter what your view is. That happened, and there were disagreements. We literally had to remove at least one cabinet minister from cabinet when the prime minister said, sorry, this is going to be a whip vote for cabinet. And if you're not in agreement, then you have to step aside. But now we're talking about rainbows and people worry about physical violence. We changed the law of the land about whether or not same-sex couples could get married 20 years ago, and people didn't think that it was going to be a physical violence issue. Now you can't have a discussion in Toronto at the school board about rainbows without worrying it's going to mount into physical violence. Something has gone crooked in our political discourse over the past 20 years. It's bananas.
Absolutely.
Well, and we've taken steps back, right? Like, not only in that way, but it was only a few years ago where Toronto was the host of World Pride. We were amongst the leaders of these kind of issues. And it was, talk about a flag. It was a flag we waved because we were proud of it. And it was something that we sell, you know, this is diversity is our strength, right? This is literally what we sell. It's our foundations of our society. And I do applaud you, Scott, and that whole team. That was a huge moment. And it's changed the way our country exists and our families sit.
Yeah.
These symbols now of what used to stand for individual freedoms and open discussion somehow are now becoming so polarizing that the symbols themselves have become weapons. And it shouldn't be that way at all.
It shouldn't. And I really do appreciate this discussion we're having right now on our Smart Speaker series. We'll take a break for traffic and we will reconvene with Scott Reed and Lindsay Broadhead right here on The Rush. Continuing our Smart Speaker series on this sunny Monday with Lindsay Broadhead, Strategic Communications Public Affairs Advisor, and Scott Reed, CTV political analyst, former advisor to Prime Minister Paul Martin. We had some candidates in studio here. Well, Councillor Brad Bradford, one of the 102 mayoral candidates in the city's by-election, June 26 is the day to vote, was on News Talk 1010 earlier today. Jerry Agar hosting More in the Morning today and asking Brad Bradford about these videos he's being criticized for. There are a round of new videos out there. One is that he's driving on Lakeshore or not moving on Lakeshore. And some people flag that he's driving and taking a video. Well, clearly someone else is holding the camera in the passenger seat. But the other issue is he has a can of booze in the park. And he's talking about not being allowed to drink in the park. Brad Bradford defending that behavior. But what do you say, Scott Reed?
Yeah, it's all fine. Like, I wish somebody would learn how to play the piano and the drums at the same time at this point. Like, I just think this race, it's astonishing to me that people seem so disappointed in where the city is at, and yet the race has had such low engagement. We're going to have more candidates and voters. So I think all the objections about, like, you know, Brad's videos, I don't know, like, whatever. I mean, if you like them, then you don't care. If you do like, if you don't like them, then you get all wound up about it. But, like, it just, man, like, are we really going to get in a world where people are going to be like, well, did he commit a highway traffic act offense? You know, should he be drinking in the park? I mean, I get that people will say, well, wait a second, you voted this way and now you're advocating that. That's fair. But God, everyone seems to be like focused on the little rather than the big.
Are we not focusing on the big? There was some talk about the Gardiner Expressway in the last few debates that got me worked up. Lindsay, what do you think?
Well, look, I thought this was going to be a heavy policy kind of election from the beginning. And right now, that's all people are talking about. I think we need to pause it, though, actually. I was at an event over the weekend, and everyone was saying, you know, this city is actually awesome, right? The city is great. There's lots of potential. And we're not hearing anything good. There's no forward-thinking future narrative here at all. What's the vision? You know, we deserve something like that. So, you know, from a social media point of view, going back to your original question, I think Brad is very successfully cutting through. He's got an awesome social team. So, you know, of the 102, if folks didn't know him, a lot more do now. So I think that's actually successful. But I'd like to see his videos as well as all the other candidates' plans go way higher. And connect us emotionally to where they want to take us.
The biggest announcement from mayoral candidate Anthony Fury today is former Harper cabinet minister John Baird, who didn't represent a riding in Toronto as an MP, has endorsed Anthony Fury. How far does that go, Scott?
Not far. And look, John and I went to university together. We've known each other since we were like 19. He's a friend. I have enormous respect for the guy, but what's he got to do with the mayor's race in Toronto? So, I mean, they're just trying to get their way in the news, and oh, lo and behold, we're talking about it on the news. So I guess, you know, credit to them that that's a win. But you know, Anthony Fury's not going to win this race. And so I think for the next month, you're going to have to start a crunch down. There's really only one question left in this election. And I hear what Lindsay's saying, but I'm a cynical political dink, okay? And so the cynical political dink in me is saying, is Olivia Chow going to win or is she going to get contested? Because right now she's lapping the field. She's winning by a 2-1 margin. And so is anyone going to emerge as a contestant to that? And it doesn't feel like it. They really are. That's all that's going on in this race.
John Baird's endorsement of Anthony Fury, Lindsay, do you think that goes far with people who are undecided in the city of Toronto?
I think kind of like Olivia Chow, there's a lot of voters who are voting because of political stripes, and they're bringing in provincial and federal politics into a municipal race. So if they're fans of federal Tories, you know, and they like to lean that way, it's kind of a John Baird may be a quick code word for translation into what an Anthony Fury might bring. But of course, it's a completely different level of government and completely different level of politics. So it might work that way. And you're not a dick, Scott. Please. Lovely, lovely guy.
Rashmi, let's poll the audience. I don't think you'll find uniform agreement.
Only 1 out of 3 vote. Where we're going, we still have a whole month, and we've heard a lot about that over the last few days. This is the length of a provincial election still to come. It could go any which way. Folks might fold under others. But yeah, Olivia's elbowing everyone out of the way still.
All right, friends, a magic ball. Just pull out your magic ball right now and let us know what's going to happen in Alberta at the end of today. There will be a premier. She will have been the premier before. Is it Rachel Notley or Danielle Smith? How do you think it's going to end in Alberta tonight? Lindsay, and then Scott?
I'm, well, hopeful, Notley. I think sensibility will prevail.
Okay.
she says, wishing and hoping.
It's a fascinating race, right, Scott?
So good.
Not really. It hasn't been a really interesting election. Not much has moved. And so I'm disappointed in it. And I really, really do not want Danielle Smith to win, because I think it's a triumph of people who are unfit, and it doesn't matter. Like, your conduct should matter. And if she's reelected, it means that her misconduct doesn't matter. But right now she's on pace to get reelected. And I think she'll actually get reelected. Disappoints me to say this, but if I'm going to be honest about my prediction, is that she's going to win quickly and by a fairly sizable margin.
Oh, I thought this was going to be hotly contested, but you have better insider information. I guess the polls are just showing that it's a tight race in the urban settings, but you'd say most of Alberta is going to go UCP. UPC.
If you look at there's a lot of polls. If you look at the pollsters who are good and who know Alberta, it doesn't look encouraging for Notley and the NDP. And I wish I could say something otherwise, because that's not where my heart is. But I don't think that Danielle Smith's run a disciplined campaign where she's hid herself from herself. And that's been wise, because herself is a bad candidate.
Okay, we will leave it there. Thank you both. There are no dinks in the Smart Speaker series. We appreciate you.
Dinks allowed.
There we go.
Lindsay Broadhead, Strategic Communications Public Affairs Advisor, and Scott Reed, CTV Political Analyst, former advisor to Prime Minister Paul Martin. Thank you both so much for joining us on this beautiful Monday. Wishing you a lovely week ahead.
All the best, trust me.
Thank you. It is such a lovely day out there, and the sun is going to continue shining for the next few days, but the dry temperature and conditions are not boding well for our friends out east as they try to tackle some wildfires in Nova Scotia. We'll bring you up to date on everything that's happening here in our community and across the country. And if there's something you just heard that you like and you want to share it with a friend, you can do that now. The Rush is in podcast form. Just look up The Rush with Rashmi Nair wherever you get your programs. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, even the iHeartRadio app. Download us and take us wherever you go.